to Bible Curious podcast. I'm your host, Emily Lyons, and today I'm super excited about today's episode. We're going to be just diving into Jesus 101, building a relationship with Jesus for beginners, and it's just a good place to start because it can get really overwhelming, and it really is simple. Having a relationship with Jesus is A, the best thing you'll ever do, and B, it's something that it becomes a part of your every single day life. So it's something that we should be talking about. We should be talking about how we're doing it, what helps us, because obviously there are times where you get pulled away and there's times where you get distracted. So we're going to be really breaking down how to build the relationship, how to sustain the relationship, how to grow the relationship. It's really like a relationship with anyone. And yeah, it's the most important relationship you'll ever have. So firstly, I want to talk about who is God. We haven't talked about this episode 3. We haven't really gone into this. I want to talk about the Trinity. So we have God the Creator, we have Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Creator, the one who said, let there be light, the one who is, that's, you know, really who we're praying to, who's creating everything, like the almighty, all-powerful God. And then Jesus is his Son. So he sent Jesus down to earth to pay the ultimate sacrifice, to die for our sins, so that we could be free. So what the heck does that mean? It really took me a while to figure out what that meant too. And I'm going to share the best I can, of course. I'm new here, you guys. I'm going to make mistakes. I might not get it totally right, but here is the best way that I understand it and the way that made the light bulb go off for me. So in the Old Testament, which is the old version of the Bible, where we understand and learn how God created earth and we meet Abraham and Moses and all of those amazing stories. In those times, sin led to death. If you sin, you will die. The ultimate punishment for your sins. And there was really no way around it other than sacrificing a lamb. I know it sounds crazy. So the price of blood was how you would sacrifice and atone for your sins. God could not get through to us. He couldn't talk to just anyone. He could talk to the only, like, the major believers, the ones that were really obeying, the ones that were really living by his word. And so he could get through to them and hopefully get through to other people. But he had to send his son, Jesus, to die for us. So that was the ultimate sacrifice. So he was the ultimate sacrificial lamb that paid for and atoned for all of the sins so that we don't have to pay the price ourselves, that we're not punished for our sins. And I know that that sounds really wild and crazy and out there. I get it. But when you read the Bible and you look into the whole supernatural side of the Bible, I promise it will click and it will start to make sense. So in doing that, when Jesus died, he came back to life, he was able to, so he fought death basically. So he died and came back to life. I keep saying him dying is what atoned for the sins. It's how he died and fought death and came back to life, atoned for the sins. So when he did that, he also left behind the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. So we hear a lot about the Spirit of God, the angel of God in the Old Testament as well. So when God comes to visit Moses or Abraham, it's typically the Spirit of God that they can see or that is tangible to them, because God just can't come here. He's too holy, too powerful, and he just can't, like, our human bodies, minds can't accept that. We can't see it. We can't hear it. But with Jesus leaving the Holy Spirit behind, he left it in all of us. So it's available for all of us as a conduit to be able to connect with God. So the way that you need to look at it is essentially, so there's the Trinity. So God is the head. And to get to God, we need Jesus. And to get to Jesus, we need to connect to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is essentially the essence of God. And through Jesus, we were able to connect to that. There's in John 4:16, Jesus answered, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so now we have this conduit of the Holy Spirit to connect through Jesus to God. So when we're praying to the Father, but the Father and Jesus are really become the same thing, because there's no way to get to God but through Jesus. And we can really associate them both together. However you want to receive that. You know, I'm not praying to the Holy Spirit, but I feel like the Holy Spirit is what is guiding me and telling me what to do. Just sometimes I'll ask the Holy Spirit a question that I know that ultimately, you know, the answer and the guidance is ultimately coming from God and funneling its way down through the Holy Spirit to get to us. I may have confused you even more, but for whatever reason, that is what made this all make sense to me, was looking at it in that way. So the reason we want to have a relationship with God is because then we are a part of God's kingdom. So essentially, he has chosen the Israelites and us believers to join him in his kingdom of eternity, eternal happiness, eternal bliss, heaven on earth, bringing heaven down to earth. And obviously we want to be part of that. We want to be a part of that. That sounds amazing. But when we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to lead our lives or to guide us, or, you know, acknowledge them as the leader, acknowledge Jesus as the leader of our lives, then we are not in that kingdom. Kind of seeing it as there's two worlds. And I know in New Age spirituality, we look at this as the third dimension and the fifth dimension. So if you're in third dimensional consciousness, I think of, you know, the people who are just like living this very mundane life, a mundane existence, and you are living in sin, you're in bondage, you're in, you know, this autopilot mode where you're not connected to spirit, you're not connected to your true essence, which is from God. And so when I think of heaven and hell, I think that they both exist now. Like, we have, obviously, when you die, you're either in the eternal state of bliss with your soul, or you're in a state of hell. And I actually feel like earth is hell. Earth is the hell, and we are living amongst it. And in order to be in a state of heaven on earth, we have to be living and walking with God. So to start that relationship, it starts with just inviting him into your heart and believing, like being a believer, and deciding that this is the life you want to live. And of course, it's not going to happen overnight. You're not all of a sudden going to be this little, you know, church girl with no sins. But when you claim that you're ready to go that walk, that kind of starts this purification and this sifting process. And you start living right. You start living in his word. You start reading the Bible. You start connecting to God every day and talking to the Holy Spirit. And the more you're in that place of connection with him, the more you're purifying, cleansing, refining, redeeming, all of those things. And it's really the best feeling ever, ever. And that's when all the miracles happen. That is when so much magic happens in your life. But it doesn't end there. Just asking him in, it does not end there. It is only just the beginning, because during that sifting process, and as you're dedicating your life to God, you're going to be pulled back by temptation. The devil's going to tempt you because he wants you on his team. So again, we talked about those two earths. It's like, are you in God's kingdom, or do you want to be in the devil's world? And I can tell you, there is a huge, huge difference in living in the kingdom versus living in the world. And here's the thing too. It's like, I still wake up some days and I'm living in the world, and I'm in a place of darkness and a place of sin. And when you get tempted and when you start to sin, I sin all the time. And when that happens, you get pulled out of that happiness, that bliss, that deep connection, that deep relationship with God. I don't want to say the relationship is gone. It's not, but he feels further away. And yes, that's when we should run to him, and we should start to, you know, repent and start to rebuild that relationship again. But it's often when he feels the farthest, and then the guilt and the shame and all these negative thoughts start to come in, and there's just so many things. And even if it's not guilt or shame, if you do something sinful. Let's say you gossip, okay? There is always a negative repercussion. Not, you know, people can say, you know, it's not like I killed someone. Even if you don't feel guilty for the gossiping, there's going to be something, you know, the person's going to find out what you said, or like, I just find that there's always a negative effect of a sin and it pulls you away from God. When we can be in that constant communication with God and constantly have him in our minds and constantly be on our walk, maybe you're repeating a scripture or, you know, talking to God, constantly being in prayer, then you just are way less likely to be sinning. And it's not that you're never going to, but obedience is so important. And I think that word triggers people because obedience sometimes sounds like you're a dog and, you know, you're being told what to do and blah, blah, blah. But he's not telling you things to do to be mean or say you can't do this. He's doing it for your own good. You know, those rules and those sins are in place because he knows if you do this thing, you're going to feel like shit, or you're going to, you know, have something negative happen to you. So another thing we need to really do is get to know who he is. And that is through reading the Bible, getting to understand his character, listening to sermons. And again, you don't have problems. I'm a big believer. This is going to be controversial. I don't think you need to go to church to have a relationship with God. I think having a relationship with him where I'm like, my home is my church. I worship at home. I listen to sermons at home. I'm praying at home. I have a constant communication with God at home, doing whatever I'm doing. He's always there. I don't need to go to church to feel that. Do I sometimes go? Rarely. Will I maybe go more later? Maybe. I think there are reasons that it's good. Yes, community, amazing. But if you can be in that state of worship and that state of presence with him, that is what he wants more than anything. And he wants us to get to know him. He wants us to understand who he is, because how do you love someone unless you really understand them and know their story, right?
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
And then also being of service. He wants us to serve. He wants us to help people. He wants us to see everyone as equal. He wants us to, even if someone is sinning, if they are living a life that you don't agree with, not hating them, hating the sin. Like, you, we need to be good people. And yeah, there are times that I get a lot of these things wrong. And that is all part of the journey. So I'm not saying any of this to make you feel bad or to make you feel like you're not doing enough, but these are all things that we can really keep in mind to get into better relationship. I want to talk a little bit more about prayer versus manifestation. So we have gotten into this world where we think God is our genie and that we try to control our desires using these 7-step manifesting processes. Trust me, I used to have these processes and sell these processes. Repent. And when we try to control the outcome, we are messing up the plan. Yes, God wants you to have an amazing life. He wants you to be abundant. He wants you to ask him for things. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be in a state of bliss. And he wants you to, yeah, you need to ask him for the things that you want. Absolutely. But in this whole new age situation, we are literally trying to control the outcome of every desire, and we're not leaving it up to God. If we leave it up to God, what we get will be 10 times better. I promise you that. So I just feel like that is such a deception of the new age of like, okay, you want all these desires. Here's how to make them happen, rather than connecting with God and being like, okay, what's actually right for me? What should I focus on? What is important to me? Because a lot of the desires that we're focused on are ego-based, and that's not going to serve you. That's not going to serve God. And that does not lead to obedience. And you're making like a false idol of these things where you're worshiping car or worshiping a vacation or worshiping a purse and thinking about this thing, obsessing over this thing more than you think about God, your creator, and the being who is actually going to bring you happiness in your life. And that's the craziness of the world that we live in. That's the backwardsness of the world we live in. And don't feel bad if you're doing that, because I still do it. I literally still do it. But when I can catch myself and bring myself back from that place of worrying or stressing or trying to control a manifestation or trying to, yeah, like will something to happen, and I can bring myself back to surrendering it, being like, whatever you want to do with this, God, if you want me to go on this vacation, if you don't, I surrender to you, letting you know I really want to go. But if it's not in the cards for me, if you don't think it's best for me, like, let's, I'll trust you with that. So that's just obviously a silly vacation example, but it literally works with anything. Like, we really need to surrender the desires. And I think, again, the difference between New Age manifestation and prayer is the concept of surrender. And nothing that we control here in the earth realm is going to be as good or right for us or lead us to the right thing as a prayer that is surrendered and answered by God. I'm telling you, trust me, I know, because I've done it. I've done both, and the prayer is better. And a huge part of my testimony is that I had it all. I manifested all the things. I willed them all to happen. And here's the thing. Yes, manifestation is a science. I do believe in the whole concept of the vibration that you put into the world and that magnetizes the thing. But that is controlling a situation in a very earthly way. Science and math are earthly things. I don't think science and math happen in heaven. Just throwing that out there. It's just all miracles. Think of how limiting science and math are. 1 + 1 only ever equals 1. But if we can expand our consciousness to open up for miracles, there's so much more possibility than what we are trying to will to happen through vibrational math and energy. You know what I mean? And again, I've done it all. I've had it all. I've tried it all. And when you receive something from God that is meant for you from Him, the feeling of that, the purpose of that, the way that that works into your ultimate life, your ultimate will, is a million times better. So just remember, like, I know, like, when I had this life of, you know, first class vacations around the world, living in the nicest place, like spending money like crazy, buying all the things, manifesting money like crazy, not only did that not fill me up, it's something that can disappear like that. I'm going to Google it. There is scripture on only things from God are real. Hold on. I'm finding this. Okay. I couldn't find the one I was looking for, but Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father through Him." So basically emphasizing that everything should be done in His glory. And if it's not, it's not real. I swear there's scripture that says that. If someone knows what it is, or I'll find it after. But basically, like, if what you're looking, or if what you're working towards, like, here's the thing. The devil can give us manifestations. If it's not answered, if it's not a prayer being answered from God, it's something that is being created by the devil. And I know that sounds aggressive, but it's not. It's earthly if it's not heavenly. So those things, if it's not from Him, it can be taken away very easily. It is not real. It's not permanent. And it does not lead to joy. Okay, that's the scripture. Hold on. It says something like, it will not lead to joy. Okay, found another one. Okay, John 15:5. "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Okay. There's so much proof that I'm going to do a whole episode on this. I think I'll do a whole episode on like the manifesting. So if I don't find the perfect scripture right now, don't worry. We'll do a whole episode on manifesting versus prayer. But I'm glad we touched on that. And, you know, another important part of prayer, again, it's not just asking for what you want. It's surrendering who you are, surrendering what you think you want, surrendering, you know, and that's how you're building this relationship, is because you're building trust. You're letting him take control of things so that you don't have to. And what a weight off the shoulders, in my opinion. That is like music to my ears. I don't have to decide everything. I don't have to take care of everything. I don't have to, you know, I don't need to like do my own thing. I'm always guided. And there is more scripture, you guys. It just keeps coming to my head. What is it? Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. He's not going to tell you exactly what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, why it's going to happen. He is the light for your feet. So he is guiding you one step at a time. So you need to trust that one step, and then he'll show you the next step, and then he'll show you the next step, and then he'll show you the next step. And this is just like a relationship. Like, you're not going to get it all out of the gate. You're not getting the engagement ring on the first date. You know, you're going to take step by step by step to build that trust and build that foundation, and then you're going to get everything. So that's just another thing we need to realize, is we're building trust by listening, by obeying, by surrendering. And that is what relationship is all about, trust. And, you know, a relationship with God is all about faith. And the faith is the vehicle to the kingdom. I really believe that. So obviously we're like, okay, you know, what's in it for me if I'm surrendering to him and I'm living my life for God and I'm talking to him all the time, building this relationship? And I think the answers are pretty obvious, you know, bliss, love, faith, abundance, peace, and purpose, blessings, miracles. But the most important thing is learning that it's not about us. If we can learn that it's not about us, then I think that's the ultimate gift. How much anxiety is alleviated by not making everything about you? I'm telling you, it is the answer to everything. Another thing I want to talk about a little bit is deliverance. And we'll do a whole episode on demons. I don't know why this is my favorite topic, like sin and demons and slaying demons and how God has given us the ability to slay demons. It's so cool. But yeah, that's another benefit, you guys. But again, it's not about us. We want to just get to a point where it is all for his will and bringing the kingdom to earth. Seek first the kingdom. And when we seek the kingdom, that is when all the glory comes to us. There's scripture for that. But seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Now I'm typing in what things. I'm, by the way, using ChatGPT as my Bible today. So the things referred to in Matthew 6:33 encompass the various needs and concerns mentioned early in the chapter, such as food, drink, and clothing. The verse suggests that by prioritizing seeking God's kingdom and righteousness, all these necessities will be provided. And that's the thing that I noticed when I was talking to my friend Sophie about this. We are always sustained. So if we can have this relationship with God where we believe in him, we trust him, we have faith in him, no matter what we're going through, we know that we will be sustained. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're always going to be in this crazy abundance and bliss. It means that you will be sustained. He will never take away so much that you can't survive. He will never bring you to your knees so hard that you can't make it. He'll never give you a test so hard that you can't handle. You will always be sustained. And when we get into these places of anxiety and worry, it's because we think things are going to get worse. It's never usually something we can't handle. It's usually, this is going to get worse, or I'm going to feel this terrible forever. And we know that neither of those things are true. So that is scripture that we should be repeating over and over and over again. Because when we know that we are, you know, we can do all things through God, then that is, what could we possibly be scared of? With God, when God is with me, who can be against me? That's more scripture. See, I never remember where in the Bible it is, but I've memorized the scripture itself. I'm getting there, you guys. I'm new here. Okay, so the number one reason, you guys, being God's child and taking your soul back from the devil and being in the kingdom is because of eternity. We will be in the kingdom for eternity. And we are living in just a blip. I really believe souls are eternal. And when we surrender to God and we live by Him, we believe in Him, we obey Him, we will be in the kingdom for eternity. And I'm totally ready to be wrong about the concept of heaven and hell both existing on earth. I'll probably have people coming for me, but I really feel that. And when we talk about in New Age spirituality, like the new earth, when they talk about that, I believe that they're talking about the second coming. And when Jesus comes back and is living amongst us and within us, and heaven is brought down to earth. And I think we are on the precipice of this. I feel like that is why so many people are waking up to Him. I believe that that's why so many New Agers are, it's like they've been primed. They went through this trend of New Age, and now they are at a place where they can believe in the supernatural. And that's why they're turning to the truth of the Bible, but I think you can choose that kingdom at any moment. Like, you can wake up every morning and choose to live in the kingdom. You can release the bondage. You can release the feeling of hell that you're putting yourself through in your head with your sins. And you do that through building a relationship with God. And when I talk about bondage, I just talk about the things we put ourselves through, like the worrying, the anxiety, the depression, addictions, whether it's to your phone and scrolling, or it's to food, or it's to alcohol, whatever it is, whatever that thing is that keeps pulling you back into a hole, into a pit, that is the bondage that is keeping you on the devil's team, or trying to keep you on the devil's team. But you're stronger than that. God is stronger than that. And through Him, we can do all things. And it's not about being like, okay, I need to quit this, I need to stop this, and using your willpower to do it. When you have a relationship with God, He is going to sift through all of that for you and make you not even want those things. And I've seen that in my life. Again, go listen to the episode about my testimony. I prayed away my OCD that I felt was like really strapping me down. Definitely still working on food, but I can see the changes already in not being so graspy for food when I feel like I am in a dark place. Like, I just see the things that I no longer want to be involved in, or the things that I no longer want controlling my life. I see those falling away from me already. And it happens not overnight, but it happens fast. It really does.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
And I think the purification starts even before you're seeking Him. Like, when He's seeking you, He's starting to, you know, loosen those things, loosen the grip on those things already. Okay, so I just want to read through a list of a bunch of things that make God happy. Because in a relationship, we want to make Him happy. And so first of all, faith, believing in faith, not by sight, knowing Him, reading the Bible, giving grace. It's like God gives us so much grace and so much forgiveness. We need to give grace and forgiveness to other people. I believe that when you show grace in every situation, it really invites God and the Holy Spirit to align within you. And when you choose control or anger, it completely messes up the entire situation. Whatever you're going through, if you're going through something with someone else, or you need to have grace with yourself, or you need to have grace with someone else, like if you can insert grace into that situation, it will completely rewire the entire situation. Another one is empathy. If you can have empathy for yourself, or you can open yourself up and be vulnerable and allow someone to have empathy for you, or if you can have empathy for someone else, you are literally healing yourself. And the number one giver of empathy is God. So if you can surrender your, not even surrender, yes, surrender, but you can confess the things that are paining you to him, he will give you empathy. Just being in his energy gives you empathy and heals you. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So when we can go to him in those weak moments, it literally is so healing. So worship, so important. You can worship at church, but you can also worship at home. You can worship in the car. I love listening to worship music, or listening to even just listening to, I love when they just put scripture to music, because that's just straight word, like the word, it's about him. And some of them are real catchy. But you can say gratitude, being of service, generosity. He loves generosity, you guys. And get out of your environment, like get out of distractions and just be with him. Talking just to him. He is a jealous God. He says that in the Bible. Speak about him. If you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. Talk about him to other people. Plant seeds, not in an obnoxious way, because that tends to push people away. But talk about your experience. And just, yeah, like practice purity. So purity of your mind. Don't focus on things that you're making an idol. Don't overthink things. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Have forgiveness in your heart, in your soul. Just live according to the word. And another thing, fasting. I'll do a full episode on that. I don't want to scare you guys away, but fasting, so necessary. And softening your heart. So I'm going to do a full episode on this too, you guys. And there's so many episodes. I literally have a long list of episodes I need to do, but heart softening, such a big one. So things that heavy, add burden and heaviness to your heart are like sinning, unforgiveness, discontentment, obviously not believing, not having faith, and anger. So we need to soften our hearts. And yeah, like we know what we need to do. So I'll do a full episode on heart softening, you guys. Okay, so where do we start? So first we need to accept him into our hearts. We need to start praying, start talking to him. We need to read the Bible, get to know scripture, be continuously praying. If you're walking, be praying. If you're laying in bed, be praying. Like literally just talking to him or repeating scripture. Like when I'm trying to fall asleep, I'll literally just be repeating in my head, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. The Lord is the shepherd. I have everything I need. Or Lord bless you and keep you, let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Like I'm just repeating it all the time. When you're focused on him, when your heart is tuned into him, there's literally healing power that is coming through to you. But yeah, read the Bible, you guys. That's such a big one. So okay, we went over a lot of things. I want you guys, if you have not taken that first step, to ask Jesus into your heart. We can do that together now if you're ready for it. I need to like write out, just because I want to do this at the end of every episode, and I need to like write out a good one because I'm just kind of like making it up as I go, but we're going to do it anyway. So you can repeat after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe you are the Lord of my life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe that because of this, I am redeemed. I believe that I am a child of God and I surrender my life to you. Please come into my heart and show me your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Welcome to the community. Welcome to the kingdom. Who are you guys? I hope this was helpful. There's so many things to talk about. Like everything I said, I'm like, we'll do a full episode on this. We'll do a full episode. Everything needs a full episode. So make sure following us on the gram at Bible Curious Podcast. I also want to start a newsletter, you guys. So I'm going to start a newsletter because, like I said, there's so many things I want to talk to you guys about. There's only so many episodes. And then even during the episodes, there's so many things to say. And I don't want them to be 3 hours long. So I want to start a little newsletter just for my little thoughts for you guys. So I'm going to leave the link down below wherever you're watching this. I've got it on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. I'm going to have in the show notes, I'll have a little link. Or you can go to our website, BibleCurious.co. And yeah, sign up for the newsletter. This is the part of the episode where I beg you to do things for me. Please rate this, all the stars, leave a lovely comment. We need it because the old podcast, I explain this every time, but we started this podcast on my old podcast RSS feed. So all the comments and the ratings are for that old podcast. So we need to amp up the ratings for this one, give the good love. And yeah, if you can share this episode with a friend, if you can post it in your stories, this is us all being disciples. This is us all sharing the word of God. So yeah. Listen, I have no shame asking you to help me with these things because it's all for God. It's not for me. It's all for God. All right. Love you all. Mean it. And we will see you on the gram. DM me if you have any questions. Oh my gosh. No. I need to do a full episode, a full Q&A episode. I was going to answer your guys' questions, but we don't have time for that. We're going to do a full Q&A episode. That will be the next episode. All right. Bye.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/brainstorm now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more brainstorming tools like private mode and voting. That's Miro.com/brainstorm now.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.